right, our next speaker representing poster 25 is Alex Grzorczyk from Vineland Research and Innovation Center.
Okay, good morning, and thank you for having me today. This talk is about highlighting the important attributes of edible flowers. So as Kevin mentioned yesterday, there's an increasing interest in the foodie culture. It started out as an interest in celebrity chefs, magazines, and the Food Network, but now it's shifting. Now a lot of people are interested in becoming home chefs and trying out new unusual ingredients. Edible flowers have been used more commonly in certain cultures. For example, in parts of Mexico, hibiscus flowers are sometimes used in tacos because they have a meaty texture, or for punches. However, in Canada and the US, that hasn't really been the case so far, but we're seeing an increasing interest in this topic. A couple of years ago, in 2015, we were doing a study on edible ornamental plants for gardeners, and we found that over a third of people in a MaxDiff study were more interested in purchasing edible flowers in pots rather than more common plants like blueberries or raspberries. And in fact, this year, Whole Foods listed floral flavors as the number one trend. And so since then, we've started working with a local herb grower, and they grow potted herbs like parsley or basil for the produce section. And together, we saw an opportunity to create similar products with edible flowers. However, most consumers have limited familiarity with edible flowers, so it's unknown what drives edible flower liking, and therefore what kind of edible flowers should be released. And so there's many edible flowers out there, and so to start things off and narrow down the options, we worked with the grower and they did production trials to figure out which edible flowers would grow well in their greenhouse conditions and fit well in a 4-inch pot. And then from there, we narrowed down the options to 7 potted edible flowers. And we did some preliminary testing to figure out the right carrier, since edible flowers aren't usually eaten on their own. And so in the end, we chose to present them on bocconcini cheese. And they were profiled by trained panelists who had previous experience with rapid profiling, who used free multiple sorting in this case. The flowers were then evaluated by over 200 consumers from the Greater Toronto Area, and they indicated liking on a 7-point Likert scale. And at the end, we also invited them to observe the different flowers in pots as they would see them on grocery store shelves and indicate their most liked and least liked potted edible flower. So what we found was that there were actually 2 segments of consumers. One segment liked very bold flavors, but these flavors were quite diverse, so the flowers they liked had either spicy, peppery notes, or they were minty, or they had a very noticeable grassy, spinach-like aroma. So more than anything, it seemed to matter to them that the flower had a distinct flavor. And some of these also had crunchy textures or bristly textures because they had fine hairs on the stems. Whereas the other segment, they preferred smooth textures that were kind of slippery textures, and generally an absence of flavor, or these very mild flavors. Visually, we found that the most appealing flower was only moderately liked for taste, and the top flowers liked for taste had acceptable best-worst scores, but they were quite a bit lower than the most liked visually appearing flower. And so the taste would be more important than for repeat purchasing. If you'd like more information on our poster, please come visit us at poster number 25. And I'd like to just thank Amy Bowen, who took the lead on execution of this testing, as well as the rest of the Consumer Insights team, and of course, our funders. Thank you.